the souls that now are dying in the lands across the sea, who've never heard of Jesus, who means much to you and me. Haunted by the evil spirits, bearing heavy loads of care, thinking only of appeasement, living, dying in despair. Oh, they have gods with eyes that see not, and gods with ears that cannot hear, who their prayer can never answer, who cannot dispel their fear, who can never bear their burdens and never open heaven's gate. Oh, they need to know of Jesus. How much longer must they wait? Thank you, fellows. What a song. Why must we die? What a question. I had a funny story I wanted to tell. But as I listened to those words to that song, I didn't feel very funny. All over this earth, there are people who are dying with absolutely no hope because they've never one time had a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hearts must be stirred. The enemy is strong. The battle is raging. The foe is advancing. And we must face that which is before us and enter the battle for the Lord. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, not verse 2, which normally I would read when I open chapter 2. But verse 3 follows verse 2. That's an amazing deduction from a brilliant mind. But it says, "Thou therefore," and it even points back to verse 2. Because if we, who are in the battle, are going to be able to take the things that we have heard and known and commit them to faithful men and women like you sitting here this morning, so that they can teach others also, we're going to have to endure some hardness as a good soldier. Now, I opened a subject that I wish with all my heart I had never mentioned, this geriatric idea, because that's the only thing most of you young people are even going to remember. And some of you didn't even know what the word meant. You will learn. You will learn exactly what it meant. But I begin the message before I take that huge jump back into preaching to the young with those of us who have been at this for a while. And I would encourage you, endure hardness as a good soldier. Because if you don't, those you're trying to commit this marvelous, marvelous ministry too will not believe it's worthwhile. You see, it is so urgent that we who have been privileged of God, and incidentally, hearing this preaching about faith promise, the older I get, And I'm not old. My mother-in-law gave me some good advice, and sometimes mother-in-laws can have very good advice. She said, it's okay to get older, but don't ever get old. And I like getting older because there's only one other alternative. But I don't intend to get old. But I do want to be the right kind of an example to the generation that's coming behind me. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And oh, how easy that is to do even for missionaries, isn't it? Get so wrapped up in daily life that we forget the urgency of the battle. The urgency of the battle. And why do we do it? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's our only motivation. That's our only purpose. Why do we have missionaries here in their 80s? Still missionarying. That may not be a word, but I like it anyway. Because they want to please him who chose them to be a missionary. And as I was saying, listening to this, talking about the giving of the Macedonian churches, and I could name church after church after church after church that has kept me on the mission field and in missions. And I owe a deep debt of gratitude to people like that who worked every day in factories and coal mines and maybe in other types of work that maybe they had to work with ungodly people, and they were faithful to give so that I could be in full-time ministry for the Lord. And I would say to all of those, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, because I have had the privilege to go. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Now we're going to talk to young people. Now most of you already know what 1 Samuel 17 is about. It's about this young man named David. He is sent by his father to check up on his three brothers who are in the battle. They're at war with the Philistines. David is too young to go to war. Incidentally, let no man despise your youth. But you be an example of the believer. You be an example of the believer. And David, who incidentally, in the previous chapter 16, had just been anointed to be the king of Israel. Not a very fitting subject to be a king. Just a little shepherd boy. Even Samuel, the last one, he saw all the sons of Jesse, and he said, something's wrong here. The Lord told me to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and none of these are the one. Isn't there somebody else? And Jesse said, well, there is little David. Kind of like Andrew that day when the 5,000 were fed. He said, well, there is this little lad here. And now in chapter 17, the battle rages. And then here's this giant with audacity who defies the armies of the living God. And he steps on this scene, and with his derailings and his accusations and his mockings, he mocks not only the king of Israel, Saul, and the soldiers of Israel, but he mocks the living God. And those who are already in the battle, excuse me, missionaries, are afraid. And sometimes those who are veterans, weary in the battle after years and years and years, and so few coming to join them and help them and fight with them, become afraid for what's happening in the future of their ministries. And they're waiting and looking for a little David to step on the scene and come forth and accomplish things in their country that they only dreamed about. I would give my heart and soul if some young man, young woman, or many would step on the scene in my Japan and a mighty spiritual awakening would sweep that land. How that would thrill my soul to see that happen. You're familiar with the story, so we're not going to read a lot of the verses. But we are facing giants in our day. I call them the ism giants. Humanism, communism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Mormonism, Mohammedanism, Catholicism, atheism, Calvinism, Arminianism, liberalism, modernism, Darwinism, materialism, hedonism, and all the isms you can think of. All defying the living God. Every system of this world is standing and defying the living God. Our own nation is a classic example of how a nation through humanism and all the other ism giants can turn from the God who made America great. And America is not great because of its materialism. God help us if those atheistic thinkers ever get that one little phrase removed from our monetary system. Because it's not in money that we trust. It is in God that we trust. And we need to remember that. But now, what happened with David? He got there. And all of them said, "Oh, praise the Lord. David's here now. We can get victory." Well, that's not what happened at all. First, his brothers got angry with him. The little know-it-all's here. The little know-it-all. You know, so they've just been rejected as being anointed. All of them. So they were already upset with David. And here he comes as daddy's messenger to check up on them and see how they're doing and bring them a little bit of extra food to eat. And he hears them in their fear talking. And quaking and wondering. And then all at once, this huge, huge form of a man steps up on the Philistine side of the mountains and begins to derail. Verse 4 says, "There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines." You see, Satan thinks he has his champions. And it says in verse 5, "He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." No wonder they were afraid. Humanly speaking, they had every right to fear. But as David listened to that mouth from that defier of the living God, he began to say, "Where is the man to take up the challenge? Where is he?" And he began to go from person to person. Of course, his brother said, "You just come out here to see things. You don't know anything about fighting." And he was criticized. You see, in the first, look at verse 29 now very quickly. David said, after he got all this criticism from his brothers and everybody, David said, what have I now done? What am I doing wrong? Look, everybody ought to see what I'm seeing. What am I doing wrong? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former matter. You see, he kept trying to get somebody to take the challenge of that loud mouth. But nobody would. You see, number one, if you're going to be used of God, you have to recognize the cause. You have to recognize there is a cause. You see, David saw the need, and immediately he began to seek for help. He realized that he wasn't really the one who was fit to do what needed to be done. But there should have been someone there. And he began to say, somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to go. And if you say that long enough, you'll be like David and you'll say, well, here I am. I'll go. I'm a body. So I'll go. So you see, David recognized the cause. And then in verse 31, he responded to the call. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, probably laughing at David. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now imagine what this little David was offering to do. He said, don't be afraid. All the armies of Israel, and incidentally, King Saul was probably the largest physical man in the whole army of Israel. And he should have accepted that challenge and went out there. But he didn't. And here's what David said, don't be afraid. You see, David was available. You know, there are three kinds of ability that we see in this passage of Scripture. One of them is availability. The second one, we must admit, is inability. In the next verse, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You see, availability is what God needs, and inability is what we need to recognize. You see, Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And then in verse 34 and 35, we find out what David really needed and what he got. That was dependability, not upon himself, but upon the God who had called him to go. Verse 34 says, and David said to Saul, thy servant. And incidentally, whatever God calls you to do, don't ever forget that that's all you are as a servant. He'd been anointed to become the king, but even after he was king, all through his kingship, he always referred to himself as the servant of the Lord. And he said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Why? Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You see, David said, I can depend upon God. Young people, do you have victories in your life now that you can fall back on when the real battles come? And you can say, well, God took care of me then. I know he's going to take care of me. Paul did, didn't he? He delivered me, he doth deliver me, and he will yet deliver me, Paul said, at the closing time of his life. You see, Victories won now will become the fortitude that we need for the battles that we face in the future. Don't quit anything. Don't ever quit anything. When we played board games in our home with our children, they could cry when they were losing, but they couldn't quit. We finish the game. Teach your children to finish what they start. Don't start anything you don't finish. You young people that are here in school, don't be one of those that said, well, I went for X number of years to ambassador, and 20 years from now you're saying, but I didn't finish. Don't be one of those. Finish what you're doing. Now, let's move on very quickly, and I have to be quick. But look at verse 38. Saul, let's read verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now, I think King Saul was thinking he was giving a eulogy. Well, go. The Lord be with you. Because you're not coming back. You're not coming back. And then, it says in verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor. And he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he assayed to go. He tried to go, for he had not proved it. Young man, don't try to fight the battle with somebody else's armor. God wants to use you. He does not want you to be somebody else. And we need to be careful of that. Now, David very quickly learned a biblical principle and stated it. He said, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us. Lay aside unnecessary weights and then learn necessary skills. David wasn't good with a sword and a shield and wearing armor. But man, he was good with that sling. He knew how to use a sling. And that's what he was counting on. Young people, you need to be prepared. This is your golden opportunity. And every moment you waste, and every time you procrastinate in your preparation and in your responsibilities, as you are in your preparation time of your life, you are causing your future ministry to be weaker. We need to develop our necessary skills. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Prove all things. Hold fast only to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians tells us. You see, David laid aside unnecessary weights. He had already learned necessary skills. But he still didn't look to himself. He looked to the Lord. Now notice as he goes out to battle. In verse 40 it says, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Maybe a little bit sissified. I don't know. He was a fair kind. Didn't even have a good suntan. There he was. He was of a fair kind. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And probably little David was saying, well, yes. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Young people, the battle is raging. The battle is not an easy task, but the battle is the Lord's. If you don't believe it, read the last part of the book of Revelation. We're going to win. We're going to win. The battle is the Lord's. But in some of the skirmishes, we need to see the Lord bring us the victory. You see, if we do, the world will know that there's a God in heaven. If we do, the assembly around us will know that there is a God in heaven and that the battle is the Lord's. Now, look at verse 48. Look at verse 48. And I realize I'm skipping most of the story, but you've heard this in Sunday school all of your life. You know the story. Verse 48 says, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Let me review the points lest you forget. Recognize the cause. Respond to the call. Then rely on the right choices. Prepare yourself well. Develop the skills you need. And realize that there are some things you cannot do. And lay aside somebody else's armor. You don't have to do the same way somebody else does. You know, I've learned, and God help it not to be true here at Ambassador, that sometimes those whom we as a student body expected to be the most successful have done very little for the cause of Christ. And then those of us whom nobody thought would ever succeed at anything have seen God do marvelous, marvelous things. Not because of us. You see, God's called us to do a work we can't do. He does it. In and through and with us, and as I say, often in spite of us. And one of these days when we stand before Him at the judgment seat, He's going to reward us as if we had done it ourselves. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Saul said, you're not able. I remember the first thing my home pastor said when I told him I was going to be a missionary. He said, well, you always were the stupid one. If I'd have been a little bit more knowledgeable, I would have said, well, you're right, but the Bible does say not many wise are chosen. But I didn't have an answer. I just remember going home and crying. Because I knew I wasn't able. And we had sharp young men in our youth group. And I wasn't one of them. But I learned a lesson that day that I hope I've kept all my life. I'm not able. But He's able. He's able. I know He's able. And I know my Lord will carry me through. You see? And then we need, finally, to run to the challenge. David didn't step up there, and after that giant Goliath, big mouth, just stepped out on the scene again. He didn't say, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into? Now, if these missionaries who are here have been serving God for very long, they will, in their hearts, have to honestly admit that there have been times when you have said that. What in the world am I doing here? But before you get so afraid that you turn and run, just run in the right direction. Run right into the heat of the battle. Start running toward that giant that is out there before you that would hinder your ministry, your life, and would defy your God. And run to face the challenge. Verse 50 tells us that David prevailed. He did win the battle. And then it says in verse 51 that the Philistines panicked. And all of them began to run. And finally, the Israelite army got a little bit of courage and started running after them. Now, young people, I say this as sincerely as I know how, and not to be critical of any who have been in the battle for a long time. But maybe if you'd run into the battle and you'd defy the enemies of God and you'd say, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand, and you would allow God to use you for what He wants to use you for in the days and months and years ahead, that there would be older missionaries that would say, praise God, it can still happen, and they will start pursuing the enemy as well again. With a new and a fresh vigor and a new and a fresh vision and a new and a fresh courage to do what God wants them to do with the rest of their lives. Help us. Help us. That's not just the cry of the heathen. It's the cry. I go all over this world now, and every missionary, older missionary, say, oh, I wish we had someone that would come along. We don't know how much longer we can keep going. We need somebody to come. I know of a missionary in Thailand who was getting ready to leave the field. And he said, if I just had somebody that would come, I'd be willing to stay another 10 years to help him to get established in the ministry here. And God gave him that young man. And he's still there, and so is the young man learning the language. You see, that was a David that came along. And we need to see this so clearly. You see, your faithfulness will encourage others to continue in the fight. Facing the giants. Maybe you've got some little giants now. And maybe to you they seem awfully big. Time to pay your school bill. Well, the easiest thing to be would be to drop out. And if that's what God wants, there's no shame in it as long as you just drop out until you can pay your bill and then you get right back in again. I have good friends who went to college with me back in the 60s, way back in the dark ages. And the job they got to take them through school became their career. And they're still working in the same job they got so that they could finish and go to the mission field. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let the affairs of this life weigh you down. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And God will bless your life. There are giants out there before me. I recognize the cause. I hear the call, I answer. I must not wait or pause. I know I'm not able. The task is far too great. I choose now to trust His might. I'll lay aside all weight. I'll learn the necessary skills. I'll diligently prepare. I'll look to Him for triumph. I know that He'll be there. Though Satan's giants will hinder, I will not go alone. And when I use my little sling, He'll guide my tiny stone. So till I see Him face to face, I'll remain in the fight. And those who follow after me will also do what's right. Will you be a good soldier? Will you hard tasks endure? Will you lay by this life's affairs to please Him and be pure? The giants that stand before you, by His might all will fall. So will you recognize the cause, and will you not heed His call? Stand together, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we pause in this moment, recognizing first of all, each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the weakest to the strongest, would fall into the same category as King Saul put little David. We're not able. Lord, You've blessed in the past. We've seen You do great and marvelous things. And yet, Lord, as we face our futures, most, if not all of us, have giants that are before us, that are different than those we faced behind us. But Lord, help us, whoever we are, to face them and run into the battle and trust You to take the little that we have, take our little sling, and take our tiny stone and guide it so that the giants that are before us will fall and our God will be glorified and the world will know that He's there and that He loves them, and that He can save them. In Jesus' name.